Up next is a replay of Sunday, January 8th's church service with a message from Pastor Ripley and music from Sylvia and the worship team.
72 returned with joy, saying, "The Lord, even demons are subject to your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall from lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power and enemies, and nothing shall hurt you." You know, amen. We have the power over Satan and over the demons. Christ paid the price on that cross. Amen. And we have authority to bind him in the name of Jesus. Amen. We can bind him in every thought and everything. If we have trouble in anywhere, we can bind him. He has no authority whatsoever, but we got to stand up and take authority. Amen. So I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, right now, the congregation here will stand up to Satan. Satan, you have got no power over us. You got no power over our families. You got no power over everything. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ would fall on each and every one of us. I pray, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus would cover us. We don't have to worry. He is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. Foe. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, this whole congregation this morning would be filled with your Holy Spirit, and they would not have to worry about the devil again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up and worship our mighty King Jesus. you and praise you, Jesus. You are a mighty God, Lord. We just declare your lordship over our lives. And we just ask, Lord, you would cleanse our hearts, Lord. We come as we are, but we ask for your cleansing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let your blood wash away all the sin of our lives right now so we can come to your holy hill with clean hands and a pure heart, oh God. We just say you are an amazing God. And we bow before you, Lord, the holy King of Israel. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. One is On Earth as in Heaven, and this was a request from one of our young people here. So I just want to encourage you that God is at work in our midst. And just want to also say welcome to all you Yak people. You are a blessing to us. We want to thank you for coming. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in your presence there is peace. In your presence, mountains move. And we just want to thank you, Lord, that your name is our strong tower, Lord. We run into you, Jesus, and we're safe. And Lord Jesus, in your name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we just declare, Lord, that you are King. You are King in this place. Hallelujah.
Fear and all anxiety. To every
soul held captive by depression.
Shake somebody's hand this morning. Just reach out to somebody around you. All the children can make their way to Children's Church. If we could find a seat this morning. What?
The mic.
Sure. You have your Bibles this morning. If you can turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. You know, it's amazing how powerful prayer is. It really is amazing. When we persist in faith, in prayer, God is able to do some great and awesome things. I was pleasantly shocked last week. Pleasantly shocked. When on live TV, on ESPN, one of the commentators began to pray for this young man that suddenly fell on the field in an NFL game. After a tackle. And all the prayers that went up for him. But it was interesting to see this commentator stop the show and say, you know, I don't even know if this is permissible or not, but I think right now we're going to pray. And the other two commentators said, let's do it. And there, this young man was praying a prayer. It was a pretty powerful prayer. And this NFL football player, only his second year in the NFL, is having an amazing recovery. And I believe it's because so many people are praying for him. How about we concentrate those prayers even more on other situations and circumstances? Amen. What God is able to do. Amen. When we pray and when we call out to God. God loves to work in the midst of impossible situations. So if you have a circumstance that you're discouraged about, that is the place that God desires to move. In fact, with God, all things are possible. Can I say it again? With God, all things are possible. Okay, that's not good enough. Let me say it again. With God, all things are possible. Amen. You know, if we spent more time praying and less time talking, we would see some amazing things take place all around us. Amen. More time praying, less time talking about prayer. You know, this is not the time to back away from prayer. This is the time to press in prayer. This is the time to really double up on prayer. This is the time to really say to the Lord, I am going to give it all, Lord. I'm really going to pray like I've never prayed before by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray this morning that you would work mightily through this message. And Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse number 24. Jacob was facing what he thought was a threat as his brother Esau was approaching. And of course, we know that the two brothers had a big, huge disagreement. And there was hatred, bitterness. And Jacob didn't know what was going to happen next as his brother was approaching with hundreds of men. How many know we don't know the future, only God does? Amen. Jacob separated his family into three groups. And in verse 24, it says, then Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. You know, we need to face some things just you and God. There are some circumstances for which God wants to breathe something fresh into your relationship between you and Him. And here, Jacob was left alone, and a man, many commentators believe, this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself. A man wrestled with him until daybreak. Some situations, there is going to be a spiritual wrestling in the spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? There is going to be that intensity. Something is beginning to happen as you are alone with God. In verse number 25, and when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with this man. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know, there are some prayers that we sense God is involved in. We know it's the will of God without a shadow of a doubt. And we need to press in persistently until we see the manifestation of that prayer. And some of us, we give up too easily. We back away. We pray it once and we say, well, I guess God didn't answer, so I'm going on to another prayer. No, sometimes we need to be persistent with that prayer until we see what God is going to do. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me, until you fill me, until you change me, until that faith begins to rise in my heart to claim what God has so graciously promised to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to reach out and believe and trust and have faith in the impossible. Amen. I will not let you go. I am not going to stop the wrestling. I'm not going to stop the praying. I'm not going to stop the prevailing of my soul in prayer until I see what you are able to do, O God. It's called praying through. God wants to bring us into that place where we are willing to pray through. So he said to him, what is your name? David? John? He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. Something transformative happened in the wrestling, in the prevailing. You see, God is more interested in changing you in your praying than even giving the answer. Hello? Come on, somebody. Something wonderful is happening in your life as you're praying and prevailing and persisting. Jacob got his name changed. Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Now there are many definitions of what that name means. I pulled up one, a fighter with God. A fighter with God is one of them. A fighter with God. Hallelujah. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Hallelujah. That's what I want for every single person in this house this morning. I want you to have a name change in the spirit. I want you to see yourself differently than you've ever seen yourself before. Not as a defeated Christian, but an overcomer through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall prevail. Hallelujah. You shall prevail. Hallelujah. You see, you pray differently when you know you have the victory. Your prayers change when you know you're a victor. Hallelujah. You begin to pray according to the will of God. You begin to pray according to the word of God. Your prayers begin to line up with what God is saying in the spirit realm. And you begin to see the manifestations of those prayers. Hallelujah. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Friends, I want the blessing of God on my life. I want to say it again. I want the blessing and favor of God upon my life. That's not pride this morning. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I've been born again of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. He shed his blood that I would be brought from darkness into light. I want the blessing of God upon my life. I want the Holy Spirit to change your perspective on who you are. To see yourself differently. To gain a fresh perspective on how God looks at you. I'm just a worm. I'm just a worm. That's all I am. I'm just a worm. That's not how God sees you. He didn't die on that cross so that you could be a worm. He died on that cross so you can stand straight with your head held high, believing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to bring you through. He's going to cause your heart to be filled with His Spirit. Let's go over to Luke chapter 11, verse 5. You know, there's true humility, and then there's false humility. Self-pity. Someone talked to me about that a week or so ago, about self-pity. You know, I'm not much. Self-pity is what drains the believer from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Are you hearing me this morning? Self-pity is not the Spirit of God. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. Just suppose one of you has a friend. And goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I almost felt like doing that a week or so ago because I went to Pilo's and there wasn't a loaf of bread anywhere. And I went up to the top of my street. What's the name of that place?
I remember how you...
I had to pay $7 for a loaf of bread. And there was only 2. And I said, which one is fresher? And I have to confess a sin this morning. I brought my dog, Rex. And you know dogs, they poop. So I picked up the poop and I put it in a bag. And the store had nowhere to put the poop. They had moved the garbage can from outside to inside. And I said to the clerk, I said, where do you want me to put this poop? And he said, you're going to have to take it outside. I said, there's no garbage outside. So I had the poop and a bag of bread. Now I had a decision to make. This is a little rabbit trail, but we'll get back to the sermon. I had a decision to make. Was I going to carry the bread and the poop? And I know my wife wouldn't be happy with that. So my sin is, I went to the nearest sidewalk and I just dropped the bag of poop and I carried on. On the sidewalk. That's what I did. I want to get that out there and clean it up and ask for forgiveness because I didn't want to carry the bread and the poop. Do you forgive me for that? Okay, thank you. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Stop praying. You're not going to get anything. That prayer is never going to be answered. Stop lifting it to God. Stop being concerned about it. Stop persevering in prayer about it. Give up. That's what the devil's saying. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Are you following me this morning? Because this man continued to ask. The man who was comfortably in bed, his children asleep, I presume, would get up and answer the knocking door because the man persisted. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now I want to stop here just for a moment and tell you that each aspect of this verse is positive. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Are you hearing me? And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know what that says to me? I'm going to keep asking. Yeah. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking, no matter what the circumstances say to me, no matter what is around me, what people try to say to discourage me. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on knocking because I know God is going to answer me. Hallelujah. How many here have ever experienced a discouraging situation? Can I see your hand? I think we've all faced discouraging situations. When it seems that all hell is against us. But in the midst of that, we can't allow what we feel and what we see to affect our continued persevering prayers. In fact, you know what happens sometimes when you start praying? Sometimes it gets worse. Are you hearing me this morning? You're praying and it seems to be getting worse. And you say to God, I don't even know why I'm praying. It seems to be getting worse. That's what happened to Moses. He went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, ha ha, who are you to come to me? I'm going to allow the children of Israel to build bricks, but without straw. They're going to have to find their own straw. Moses went away from that situation saying, Lord, what are you doing? I'm only making the situation worse. But friends, listen to me. That is the trick of the enemy. To make us think that the more we're praying, the worse it may be getting. But take your eyes off what you see and put your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and stand in faith with God's word and believe that God is going to answer that prayer no matter what you see, no matter what you feel. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? As we move to communion this morning, I want you to think about the prayers that you've been praying. Think about those prayers. Some of them have been buried, and the enemy has got you to stop praying them. Friends, we need to get the Holy Ghost shovel out and dig up those prayers again and begin to pray them persistently in faith, believing that God is going to do something miraculous as you begin to pray. You know when revival breaks out? Is when we keep praying. Nothing stops us from lifting those prayers to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let anything. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking until I see the answer in the name of Jesus. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, I just thank you this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor Raff to come to prepare himself for communion. Father, I am praying this morning that you are going to resurrect some prayers that we've stopped praying, that we know is the will of God. Without a shadow of a doubt, we know it is in the plan of God to answer this prayer. Lord, bring them back to our remembrance in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that you will stir up our prayer lives like never before. Lord, wake us up in the middle of the night. Wake us up early in the morning. Call us back, Lord, to that place of consecration and prayer. Let the fire of God burn in our hearts once again, O God. Let that fire grow in us, Lord, as we pray and as we call out to you, as we wrestle, as we persist in faith. Oh God, I'm praying that you're going to do some amazing things in the days and weeks ahead as we consecrate ourselves fully and completely to you. And we let the Holy Spirit have His unhindered way in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us, Lord, for the days that we've allowed to go by without seeking your face. Forgive us for that, Lord. And now, Father, draw us back into that closet of prayer. I pray this. I ask it, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
we come to the Lord's table as a community of God, as His family, the household of faith, the body of Christ. We're reminded of the sacrament of the Lord's table. It's an open table for all that name Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. You're welcome to partake this morning. Communion helps us refocus and realign to the cross. Now, we just heard a sermon that should have done that. But as we celebrate this very sacred meal together, we come face to face with what Jesus did for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Each element is designed to remind us what He did and what it means. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross as meant for you and for me? Because we stand condemned before God for our sin. Jesus, who is sinless, took that upon Himself, our sins, so we could be set free and restored and renewed and reconciled to God the Father. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But that's not the end of the story. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Give glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you did this for us, that you obeyed the will of the Father to set us free, to bring us back home. Communion is a display of God's grace. And if we, as we come face to face with that, let us examine our hearts, as the Apostle Paul said. Examine your hearts, as he spoke to the Corinthian church, that we may not partake of the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner, and therefore bringing the judgment of God upon us. Let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Let's do that together. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, and your Spirit is with us, and we ask that you would search our hearts, Lord, for where we've been unfaithful, we're holding on to sin, whatever it may be. Lord, we just ask that you would make that apparent to us, and we just ask for forgiveness as we come to your table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. This bread represents Jesus, the living bread. You know what it represented to him? The bread of affliction. Broken for us. Broken like the Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb. Take and eat with thanksgiving in your hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken for us. You subjected yourself to the judgment of God. We thank you and praise you, Lord. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remittance of sin. Jesus bled and died to cleanse us, to set us free, to protect us from God's judgment. For he took the judgment of God upon himself. We don't stand condemned because Jesus paid the price for us. and we have the victory, and we can be overcomers because of that victory. Hallelujah. Drink with thanksgiving. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed for us on the cross. We rejoice in you, and we thank you that you paid such a high price for our forgiveness. We celebrate this meal together, remembering what Jesus did, practicing it in the present, and remembering and knowing that Jesus is coming again in the future, where we will be guests of his wedding feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb. He's coming again. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. We'd love to see you here and join us in worship. God bless.